for bringing us to into another Sunday, into the end of another year. You know, even as the Lord has been protecting, leading, and guiding us, we thank Him for keeping us. And we know that yet will He keep us still, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just share a word of prayer as we go into His word this morning. Father, please open the eyes of our understanding that we may see wonderful things in your laws today. Encourage us by your word. Teach us, lead us, guide us, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At the beginning of this year, you know, as Brother Kunle was saying, we didn't know how the year was going to go, but it looks like the year went by pretty quickly. And today we're one Sunday short of the end of the year. And I remember what this scripture we started with at the beginning of this year from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, in January, when we were all reading that, we were rejoicing, we never knew how true and how apt that scripture will be for us throughout the year 2020. You know, many people have talked about 2020 that, you know, we just know that 2020 came and it's gone. It's gone. And it's one of those years. But God doesn't deal by years or days or weeks or whatever. God deals with us on His own calendar. And as He has kept us, our prayer is that He'll keep us still. You know, Psalm 91 was very encouraging to us throughout the year, knowing that even what we read of the person talked about in this psalm is how the Lord has led us. And what I just want to share with us is to encourage us even further, you know, so that as we started this year, we are closing the year with the same word, for us to be encouraged to know that there is yet still a place for us to drink from Him, you know, to dwell with Him, to be encouraged by Him. There's yet still a place to go deeper in Him, because that is the desire of the Lord for us, and He cannot desire it more than we want it for ourselves. You know, there's that adage that says that you can force a horse to the river. You know, you cannot force a horse to drink. Why can't you force a horse to drink? It's because the natural inclination of any system, you cannot enforce it from outside. You can force a horse physically because you can carry the horse, but you can never make a horse thirsty. And a horse that is not thirsty, you know, will not drink. So in this Psalm 91, in the first verse, I just want to break it down a little bit for us to tease some things out. You know, hopefully we'll be able to see some things for each and every one of us this morning. And each and every one of us can take something from this psalm and apply it to our lives. It says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, the question I asked myself throughout this week was, what is that secret place? What is that secret place? And it's this person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High that shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I just want to take a look at a few scriptures to sort of give us an idea of what this particular verse is talking about. Sometimes we, because the Bible wasn't written originally in the English language, sometimes when we read certain things, the cultural context doesn't dawn on us. The cultural context isn't immediately available to us because we didn't live in those times. You know, I'll give an example. This past weekend, we were doing a study at Brother Lodger's Torah Bible Study Group, and we were talking about Joseph's many colored coats that his father gave to him. You know, many people, even Broadway, have depicted it as a rainbow-colored coat. I've always looked at it as a coat that, you know, has many colors. It might have many colors, I don't know. But in the cultural context, what it signifies is that cloth is a cloth of authority and of supremacy. It is a coat that is normally or should normally be given to a firstborn. That is what it signifies. That is the larger context of what he was talking about. More than, you know, the red, white, green, or whatever rainbow colors the coat had in it. So sometimes that cultural context, you know, we have to dig a little bit further to find out what is this verse talking about. And that is what I'm going to try to do for what we are reading in Psalm 91 here. The secret place of the Most High. You know, sometimes when we read it on face value, we might think that that secret place is somewhere we have to go to, a physical place where we have to approach to be able to dwell with the Most High. But when the Bible talks about a secret place, okay, let's look at a few other scriptures. In Psalm 25, verses 12 to 14. Psalm 25, verses 12 to 14. Will Sister Lola please read it for me?
Psalm 25. 12 to 14.
Yes.
Are there those who, I'm reading from the New Covenant, New Century Version, not New Covenant.
The New Covenant.
New Century Version. Are there those who respect the Lord? He will point them to the right, to the best way. They will enjoy a good life and their children will inherit the land. The Lord tells his secrets to those who respect him. He tells them about his agreement. My eyes are always looking to the Lord for help. He will keep me from any traps. Turn to me and have mercy on me because I am lonely and hurting. My troubles have grown larger. Free me from my problems.
Okay.
Look at my sufferings and troubles and take away all my sins.
You can stop.
Look at how many. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just for 12 to 14. So what you said that was the New Century Version?
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody have the New Living Translation? Okay. Sister Kemi, you can read New Living Translation for us, please.
Who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity, and their children will inherit the land. The Lord is a friend to those who fear him. He teaches them his covenant.
Thank you. Brother Babs, please, what version do you have?
King James.
Please, can you read from King James also?
Okay, 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. 13, his soul shall dwell at ease. And his seed shall inherit the earth. 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show him his covenant.
Thank you. So from what David is teaching us in this Psalm 25, in Psalm 91, we know that God has some secrets and that some secret places in God. And even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he depicted this because he's the fullness of the Godhead. And we saw this, that there was a time when he was going to reveal who he was. You know, all along, to these disciples, to all the followers, disciples, everybody, he did not fully reveal who he was. He was speaking to them in parables. They'll ask him, tell us plainly. But he never fully revealed who he was. But there was a time, which we call the transfiguration, when he called a few of his disciples with him and took them to a place, and the full revelation of who he was made manifest. And, you know, the number, he didn't take all his disciples with him. He didn't take all his followers with him. He selected a few that he took with him, and he revealed them. He revealed himself to them. If there's anything I have seen in Scripture, there is a place where God brings us to himself by grace. And that grace is available to everyone. Everybody who is born again has that grace. That grace is available to the whole world, but not the whole world accepts. The grace of God is what has brought us to be made the children of God. Okay, we're talking about the secret places of God now. The secret things of God. Those secret things of God, God doesn't reveal to everyone. The secret place of God can be known by everyone, or actually is known by everyone, but not everyone drinks from that secret place. And what do I mean by that? Okay, first of all, David is telling us here about the secret place of the Lord is available to those who fear him. Now, you know, remember we talked about the cultural context. The cultural context of to fear the Lord in the Old Testament is similar to what the Lord Jesus Christ will say about obeying him. In the Old Testament, fearing the Lord was a reverential trust you had in God. Fearing the Lord was a hatred for evil. Fearing the Lord was doing what he wanted you to do. So fearing the Lord, the fear of the Lord, encaptures all those things. You know, I don't think we'll find a lot of that terminology of fearing the Lord as David used it in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, you will see terminologies about loving the Lord, obeying the Lord. Those two terminologies are parallel. You know, they encompass the same thing. Now, David in the Old Testament was not telling us that the fear of the Lord, that Old Testament expression of my trust in Lord, in God, my reverence for God, my shunning evil because I want the Lord. Anybody who does that, who lives in the fear of the Lord, anybody who lives in the law of the Lord, is the kind of people the Lord would reveal his secrets to. Now, we're talking about the secret place of the Most High because the Lord will reveal the secret things of the Most High in the secret places of the Most High. That secret place of the Most High is not and never will be available to the large audience. It's only to a select few that will choose. And I want us to mark that word that I just said. Choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Those who will, I can say it again, those who will choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Something I learned this week. Many of us, you know, we think that God has secrets. We think that God has favorites. But one thing I learned this week, where the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons, it is very true. God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't say, because you are tall, you are this, you are brilliant, I will choose you. No. God has no favorite children. But God has what I will call intimates. God has no favorites. God just has intimates. Those who will choose to dwell in that secret place, to be intimate with him. And I say that word again, choose, and I'll come to why I'm using that word. Let's go to the book of John, the Gospel of John. And here was the Lord Jesus Christ teaching his disciples. Let's start in John 14. In John chapter 14, let's go to verse 21. You know, so from John 14, 15, 16, 17, well, 17, he was already at the Garden of the Gethsemane. From John 14, the kind of teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ began to give to his disciples was a little bit different from all he had been teaching them before. Before, there was a lot of them seeing what he did in miracles, in teaching. But from here, his teaching differed a little bit because this was where the beginning of the passion started to happen. He began to teach them differently because it was, I am going to the cross now. I will not be with you any, you know, not much longer. I will be crucified. This was when he began to reveal those things unto his disciples. And then he said in verse 21 that the person, what any of you, he that keeps my commandments, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he is it that loves me. And the one that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will love him and I will manifest myself to him. Okay, let's go now to chapter 15, the next chapter, and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, when we take that at face value, you know, sometimes I've seen some people, they will take, and Muslims do this a lot and some Christians do it also. You know, they will take the Bible as a very reverential book, a book to be respected. And it's very good to take the Bible as a book to be respected. Some people will put it on a mantle. Some people will say, don't never put it on the floor. Some people will put it under their pillow. You know, they will respect the Bible. But that is all they do, respect the Bible. But those words of the Bible never comes into their hearts because they never take the time to abide in the word. And what it says is that if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And my words abide in you. The desire of our Lord, the desire of the Father, is that each and every one of us abides in him. If you look at when the Lord Jesus Christ after he's been with the congregation, after he's been with the multitude, he's performed miracles and done all that, he would look for a place where he can be alone with his Father. Moses, when he was he left the palace. The Bible says that for 40 years, he was in the wilderness shepherding sheep, being alone. Abraham, when the Lord told him to offer up his son Isaac, he told his servants that we, both of us, we are going yonder to worship, and then we will come back to you. David, all the time when we hear of many of these deep psalms that we read, There were sons that were born in the place of him being alone as a shepherd boy. Remember when Samuel came to anoint David as king? They had even forgotten that David existed until they had to say, oh, okay, this is our youngest brother, because he was always away with the sheep, being alone. That secret place of the Most High is never a place where the multitude dwell. The secret place of the Most High is a place where only a few dwell. When they talk about relationships and communication, you know, there's something we learned very long time ago, that the deeper your relationship with somebody, the fewer the number of people that are involved in that, in a particular type of communication, you know. So when you see somebody who is a friend, you know, you will say something like, oh, how are you doing? What's up? What's happening? You know, how many people do you say that to? The multitude, everybody. But when you get down to how are you feeling? What is making you afraid? Share your pain with me. Share your joy with me. The people who you share such with are a very, very few. And even deeper still are certain secrets that you have. Nobody shares secrets with the multitude. Secrets are shared with one or two people. And it's no different from our God. God seeks for people whom he will share his own heart with. And the deepest things of God are never shared in the place of the multitude, in the place of the public. The grace of God has brought us unto Christ through salvation. And if you look at, you know, I won't go there for time, but there was a place in John 15:14. The Lord Jesus Christ called the disciples his friends. John 15:15, he said, I will no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know what the master does. John 20:17, he says to Mary, don't cling unto me, but go tell my brethren. That was the first time after the resurrection that Jesus called his disciples his brethren. A growing level of intimacy. And what I'm trying to bring out of that is that grace that the Lord has brought us, the grace that of the Lord has brought us into an intimate relationship with God because we have been saved by grace. But the choice to drink deeply from the secrets of God is what we are, what we choose on a day-by-day basis. Grace will make it available to us, but we have to choose that we desire it. Like I said, you can lead a horse to the river. Grace can bring a horse by force or not. No, you know, Bible says that while we are yet sinners, he died for us. That grace has been made available. But to drink deeply from the secret place into the secrets of God would only be available as we choose to fear him, as we choose to obey him. And the Lord is calling, because it's his desire. Brothers and sisters, it's his desires that, you know, like he said to Abraham, would I do anything without telling my friend Abraham? It's his desire to make us, to bring us into his secret place. Judas Iscariot could never have been at the transfiguration. I am convinced. The Bible didn't say it, but I'm convinced. Because there are certain things that the Lord will share and reveal to those who are spiritual There are other things he will share and reveal to those who are carnal. Judas Iscariot was about body, flesh, food, money, you know. But there are some others who wanted something deeper than that. And he shared it with them. And it's no different, brothers and sisters, from us, his children. It is what we choose, whether we choose to obey. When we have the choice to, you know, that small voice talking within us, don't do it. We choose whether to obey that voice or to disobey that voice. When that voice speaks and we choose on a day-by-day basis to obey, those choices are the choices that would lead us into the secrets of God. Because it's in the secret place of God that he reveals his choices to us. Now, what is really this secret place of God? Everybody knows it. We might think, oh, okay, so no, it's not we're special. Christ has revealed it unto us. He said that me and my Father, we will come and abide with you and you with us. That's it. The secret place of the Most High is inside Jesus Christ. The secret place of the Most High is when the Father and the Son abide in a person and that person abides in them. Because you see what we talked about, the Father and the Son are one. So there are three people and the Holy Spirit, when we begin to have fellowship, not in a multitude, not with the crowd, but we choose to be alone with the Godhead, to dwell with the Godhead. You know, I see the words of somebody like David, you know, where he said to, when he had sinned, that David was a rascal, but he knew something about God that many of us don't know. David, when after he had done wrong, you know, I don't know, you know, sometimes those particular types of scriptures, they're very difficult to understand, but his heart was moved to number the children of God. And the Bible says that his heart was actually moved. I think it was moved by God to number the children of God. But he sinned. Nonetheless, and a pestilence broke out upon the congregation, upon the children of Israel. And David repented. He had the opportunity to buy a plot of land or a field where he would make a sacrifice unto God. And that field was owned by one person called Aruna or Arauna. You know, I make it easy for myself, Aruna. So Aruna offered David that plot of land for free. And David said something which I'll never forget. He said, I will not give unto my God that which cost me nothing. And that is the place of a heart that wants something deeper than just the carnal, that wants something deeper than just, Lord, heal my body, fill my belly. Because there's a place beyond, Lord, what I want, what I desire, to, Lord, what do you desire? Lord, what do you want? You know, we always pray that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What do we say next? Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. We always say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. But do we take time to think about it, that there are certain things that God himself wants? You know, and you know, I say it again, it's a place where we choose to be. There's a place where our prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. But that is not the only prayer in that prayer. Before give us this day our daily bread, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Do I ever ask him Lord, what do you want? Moses was the one who said to God, show me your glory. He chose something beyond just the knowledge he had of God. He chose to go deeper because he wanted more. He wanted something. He was hungry. He was thirsty for something deeper. Brothers and sisters, when I read this Psalm 91 again, do you know that everything about the protection and everything we read in Psalm 91, let's go back to it again. Everything written in Psalm 91 was for the person who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. It wasn't for the crowd. It wasn't for everybody. Everything about Psalm 91 was for the person who, because that's where he started it, he or she, the person that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then he begins to list the things that the Lord will do for and be for such a person. Will protect him, will feed him. And then at the end, at verse 14, if you said, he says, because that person, this person I talked about in verse 1, because this person, he has set his love upon me. He has, you know, so it is a choice that that person has made. Grace has brought us thus far. Choices would lead us even deeper. Grace has brought us thus far. It's our choice that would lead us even deeper. Because this person has set his love upon me, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And please don't think about when they say him, there is only talking about man. He's talking about both man and woman. Because that him is for anybody. Anybody who will desire. Anybody who will choose. That I want something more, Lord. He said, if there be anyone thirsty, come. If you are hungry, come. I will satisfy you. It's a choice that we have to. Grace is available to us, my brothers and sisters. We are born again. We are in church this morning. Grace is available to us. But it's a daily choice of being obedient. It's a daily choice of choosing to love him. It's a daily choice of choosing to open up his word to know what he wants that would lead us to that secret place. And that secret place is not where the crowd dwells. It's where a few have found that this is where I want to be. It's where those who are hungry for something more have found that, oh, this is what I want. We've talked about Moses, he found it. We talked about Abraham, he found it. We talked about David, he found it. Do you know that field of Arunah that David found where he sacrificed to God, that field where David said, I will not give to God that which cost me nothing. It was that same field on Mount Moriah that the temple was constructed on. It was that same field that the temple was constructed on. You know, when David, when, you know, he wanted to build God a house, God knew the heart of David. You know, it's like your child wanting to give you something in their own pleasure. You know, like Muradike will say, Daddy, I want to build you a house, and build Daddy a gingerbread house. You know? Daddy will honor Moradeke because it's her heart. And that is how God did to David. God had already, I don't live in houses built with human hands. I'm too big for that. But because you have set your heart to do this, I will honor you. And God allowed David to do that because God saw that the heart of this, my boy, he wanted and desired me. And that is the same type of thing that God is desiring for all of us. To come to that place where we would know his secret place. Where, yes, Lord, I want this, I want that, I want this. God will answer, my brothers and sisters. But that secret place is also a place of, Lord, what do you desire? Lord, show me your glory. Lord, what will you have me do? There's a place where it's about you. There's a place where it's about him. Grace will bring you to a place where every need will be fulfilled. The choice to go deeper will bring you to a place where the Lord begins to reveal his own heart to you. The heart of God is never revealed to the multitude. The heart of God, the secrets of God, is revealed to a few who choose and desire that, Lord, this is where I want to be, in your secret place. And that choice is daily affirmed by just an obedience to his word, a love for his presence. Praise the Lord. As we end this year, let me encourage you, brethren. The Lord by grace will keep us. Because he has kept us. He has shown himself more than faithful to us. Words cannot capture just how I feel. The joy within my heart that we all together, we started this year in the pandemic where hundreds of thousands have died. We're still alive, giving praise unto God. It's not because we know how to do it well, but he has kept us. And what I'm saying today, there's a place he desires us to long for more. You know? When you're in school, you do doctors, they do residency and they do fellowship and then they begin to practice. But there are some who will take the extra pain to do what they call a subspecialty or a sub-sub-specialty. You know, there are some will do their bachelor's, they will do their master's, but some will take the pain to now do PhD. There's PhD in the spirit also. There's PhD in spirits. But it's not a place where it's not a place like a pear where you will just open the pear or cut an apple. You see, that PhD in the spirits is a place where you will need to take a stone to crack the nuts. You know, but we'll go into that later, what it means to crack the nuts. But I'm just speaking in parables also. It's not a place that is readily available. But if you choose to press in, it is made available to each and everyone who will desire it. And the Lord wants us to find that place in him where we all can know and dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, because of just the mysteries of your kingdom, the secrets of your heart, the riches of your glory, which has been made available to each and every one of us. By grace, we have been made your children. You said that we are now your brethren. But Lord, even amongst brethren, it is not each and every one that you showed the deepest things about you. For some, they desired it, and you revealed yourself even more. My prayer, Lord, even as we end this year, is that beyond what has been revealed to us, you will give us a hunger and a thirst for something deeper. That thing that made Moses say, "Show me your glory." show me your glory. It was no longer about his desires. It was no longer about his wants or needs. Because his desire was now you. Father, deepen our hunger, Lord, I pray. Deepen our thirsts, Father, I pray. By grace, we have been saved. But we want something more than just being saved. We want to know your secret place. We want to know the desires of your heart. We want to be amongst the few who press in. We might not know the way, we might not know how, but we know that as long as we desire it, you will reveal it to us. This is my prayer today, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.